Did you know there's a fascinating story behind the national anthem? So often when I hear it sung, I'm so tempted to turn to someone else and say, hey, can you name the day or the night in which this story was born, the story that's referenced in the, you know, oh, say, can you see? Can you name that? Can you name where it happened? Can you name the war it took place in? Well, it was 1812, the War of 1812, but it took place in 1814 in the greater Baltimore area. And to get more details on this, we're going to talk right now with Jane Cook, who is the author of a new book about this very subject. The book is called America's Star-Spangled Story. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And let's welcome back Jane Cook. Jane, it's great to have you on the program again.
Yes, it's so fun to be with you.
Sure. Okay, so what happened on the night of, what, September 13th, morning of September 14th, 1814 at Fort McHenry, or by Fort McHenry, in the, you know, Boston or Baltimore Harbor? Can you set things up, or you can even back up in time if you wish, but what happened at that time?
So in August, on the 24th of August, the British marched into Washington, D.C., and they burned the Capitol and they burned the White House. And a lawyer named Francis Scott Key, who had actually opposed Madison's War of 1812, President Madison's War, he felt that devastation. He lived in Georgetown and had not supported the war, but that didn't matter anymore. He learned from one of his family members that a mutual friend of theirs had been arrested by the British. And so Key put aside his political differences with President Madison and went to him and said, would you authorize me to go get this man out of jail, out of the British hands? And so he was given that permission, and they traveled. He and another guy traveled by ship, and they came to the British fleet, and they were, you know, demanding this prisoner be released. And so the British admiral said, yes. He said, but you can't leave until after we bomb Fort McHenry. You're going to have to stay with us.
All right. And just real briefly, tell us where Fort McHenry was situated. And
yes,
it basically was protecting Baltimore, correct?
That's right. So it's this I believe it's a star-shaped fort that protects Baltimore Harbor. And, you know, the Americans had gathered, there are thousands of them had gathered to defend Baltimore. They had sunk their own ships in Baltimore Harbor so that the British couldn't get super close. And they were really too far away to bomb the ship. But they went for you know, almost 24 hours of just complete bombing and rockets glaring. And so those words were what Francis Scott Key was witnessing, was these rockets streaking through the sky with this red color. And finally, at the end of the battle, the noise stopped. And in that morning, Francis Scott Key looked out and he saw that the flag, this really large flag, was flying at Fort McHenry, and it was the American flag. And he knew that that meant the Americans had held the ground and they had not surrendered. And so he was just overcome with emotion, and the British admiral wanted them to leave. And so they were able to get out of Baltimore, and just Francis Scott Key was just overcome with what he had experienced. So he started writing it down. And he'd written another song to the same tune, to Anna Crean in Heaven. And so he had tried this once before to write, you know, poetic lyrics to this particular tune, and it just flowed out of him. And then a friend of his printed it in the newspaper, and then soon newspapers across the country were printing these lyrics and telling his story about being, you know, trapped by the British in Baltimore Harbor. And it just became a phenomenon. You know, people were just started singing it, and it really became a very popular song in its day. And I'm glad Francis Scott Key lives long enough to see that it was very popular, although he didn't know that it would become our national anthem in, I believe, 1931. And so I love the song because you can listen to it, you can apply it to the War of 1812 if you know that story, but you can also listen to it and you can think about World War II, or, you know, wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, the idea of our flag still standing meant that America was still standing and intact. And so it's really a beautiful story. And I wanted to, when I wrote the book, I wanted each chapter has the, a line in the lyrics, you know, the next line. And I show you kind of what that meant in that time period. And so, you know, I would say the burning of the White House, and the burning of the Capitol was the 9/11 of the War of 1812, because it galvanized Americans and brought them together, and they, you know, stood and fought back.
I remember our mutual friend Bill Federer was once talking about when the British burned down the Capitol. First, they pretended as if they were having a kind of a mock legislation. Should we burn this down? Yes. You know, who says yay? You know, well, the votes carry. Mm-hmm. Let's burn it down. You know, and they were just mocking it.
Yep.
And meanwhile,
yes.
Washington, D.C. wasn't much of a city at that time. It really was, you know, something born in the swamp. But Baltimore was a much more plush target at that time. So, you know, I'm sure that they were really, you know, licking their chops, whoever, to try and get Baltimore. The Star Spangled Banner, that obviously refers to the star, the flag at the time. I remember seeing at one of the Smithsonian Museums of History, American History, where you can actually see the very thing that, you know, Francis Scott's Key saw on that very morning of September 14th, 1814.
Yes, and that flag is the picture, part of the cover picture of the book, that specific flag. And
it's pockmarked. It's got bullet holes through it and so forth.
Yeah, exactly. It has some tattering for sure. It's not a pristine flag anymore. It just reminds you that music can really bring us together, and it helps lift our spirits, and that, you know, people, they really revere, many people really revere the Star Spangled Banner. And it is something that has, you know, been tested through time. And we just keep coming back to it. In fact, I was, yesterday I was working on a little video that I was working on making, and there was actually a song called the Adams and Liberty Song that was written to honor President Adams in 1797. And guess what tune it was set to? The Star Spangled Banner tune, but it predates the Star Spangled Banner lyrics. And so I was practicing singing the Adams and Liberty Song lyrics to the tune of the Star Spangled Banner, because that's what they did back then. A lot of tunes were well known, and people would write different words to those tunes, and that's how, you know, songs spread. So it was a little different back then and how that worked. But I thought it was really cool that the Adams and Liberty Song is the same tune as the Star Spangled Banner.
Now, usually when we hear the Star Spangled Banner, Oh Say Can You See, we're only hearing the first verse of the national anthem. Mm-hmm. But the last verse mentions God and is even the source of our national motto, which is In God We Trust. And I want you to tell that story.
Let me see if I can pull it up here.
Blessed with the power.
You know, praise the power. Yeah, praise the power that hath made and preserved us as a nation. So that's looking to God. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, and in God is our trust. And the Star Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. So it ends with this reminder that we are trusting God as a nation, that we have religious liberty, but in God we trust was a motto that was really important to the American people, especially, you know, during that time period. And so, you know, Francis Scott Key was a man of faith. He was actually part of a Bible society where they would distribute Bibles. And so that was something that he devoted a lot of his time to, was the Bible society in America.
But he's obviously best known for just that one incident when he happened to witness, you know, the British bombarding this fort unsuccessfully, thankfully, you know, and it was, you said 24 hours of bombardment, just nonstop.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Boy, it'd be like fireworks, but not, you know, not pleasant ones to see.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it was. And, you know, the British did, you mentioned the admiral was the one who went into the House of Representatives chamber and did that mock trial. And they were, you know, sitting very recklessly and carelessly in the chairs and really mocking the American system. But I will say they were really surprised at how nice the Capitol was. all the carvings and the pillars inside. It was a much more beautiful building than they expected us to have. Because Dolly Madison once said that abundance is preferable to elegance. And she said that to a British ambassador's wife because they valued, you know, high society kind of stuff and didn't value abundance, you know. And in America, we valued abundance because that meant that we were feeding ourselves and we were independent. And so, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting that the British were surprised at the beauty of the U.S. Capitol at the time. So, and they rebuilt it, obviously, in D.C. And James and Dolly Madison had to really fight Congress to get them to rebuild in Washington because members of the Pennsylvania delegation wanted to move the Capitol to Philadelphia after the White House was burned. And Madison said, this is only a temporary interruption. We are not going to change our permanent seat of government. He said, once we start moving the Capitol, it'll never stop. An enemy will come and attack us, and then we have to move it again. He said, we're not going to do that. And he was very resolute. And, how that all kind of played out. The Madisons for Washington, D.C. being the capital.
Remaining the capital. It's funny. There's something that you said that just triggered a thought, and that is that John Adams, who was the first presidential occupant of the White House, mm-hmm. he has that famous prayer that he wrote, by the kitchen or by the dining room, basically saying, you know, bless everyone who participates in this. So maybe that part of the house did not burn down. Did the whole thing burn down or they just restored his prayer?
Yes, they have restored it. I believe it's carved in the mantle in there.
But that would be after it had burned down and then they rebuilt it. Okay.
Right, after it had burned down. So, basically they shattered all the windows and then they stood outside and threw these fiery javelins around each window. Oh. So there was just a big fire suddenly and the interior just collapsed on itself.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we have about 2 minutes remaining. There has been some controversy about the national anthem, where you've seen some people take a knee against it and so forth. And some people have said, Francis Scott Key was a bad man or he owned slaves or something like that. Can you comment on that controversy?
Yes. So he was concerned at there are some lines in the third verse that talk about slavery, but it's misconstrued. He wasn't saying that it was a good thing. He was saying that the British were actually putting slaves in danger by trying to lure them to make, you know, a break for it, essentially, and that they were disingenuous about, just like we talked about earlier, you know, just and so that verse, when you understand the historical context, you understand the British, the petition or the resolution that they published, declaration for the slaves, that it really didn't mean, you know, you have to understand the context a little bit better.
I understand
what was going on.
Sure. And we have 1 minute left. The War of 1812 was all about the issue of impressment, which was a form of slavery, but it was basically British ships essentially they would enter American ships and then they would force any British-born sailors to join the British side, even though they had already now chosen to become Americans. That's what the whole thing was about. Okay, 30 seconds to wrap up.
They were denying U.S. citizenship and our sovereignty was at stake. So, you know, I love the song, enjoy the song whenever you hear it, and just remember it's just got a great story behind it.
All right, and the name of your book is America's Star-Spangled Story. Historian Jane Hampton Cook has been our guest for this portion of the program. Thank you so much, Jane. All the best.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.